Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Okay, well now we're going to do just something here that I pray that it doesn't seem religious to you, because it shouldn't be, but I'm going to ask us all to stand. And what I would love us to do, because I actually did this when I preached the message about your kingdom come, I'd like to see us do this, maybe not every week, but if we want to do it every week, we should do it as often as we need to. But I think how awesome would it be if, as a church, we all prayed the Lord's Prayer together? Hey, how about we pray it together? But this time we don't pray it like some of us used to, just religiously, just words coming out of our mouth. Let's have a look at those words and let's read it out and pray it to God. So can we all do it together? Come on, let's with a loud voice. One, two, three. Our Father. Wow, what a prayer. Take a seat. Isn't that powerful to pray that together? Hey, come on, I would love every person in this place to know that prayer from your heart. We've been talking about this scripture from Romans chapter 8. And you know, Romans chapter 8 has been described by many scholars, as one of the most important chapters in the Bible, listen, if not the most important chapter in the whole Bible. If the whole Bible were a wedding ring, scholars would describe Romans chapter 8 as the diamond in the wedding ring. If you were ever going to memorize a chapter of Scripture, which I highly encourage you to just at least memorize one chapter of Scripture, if you were going to memorize a chapter, Romans 8 would be the chapter that I would really encourage you to memorize. Personally, I've gone back to Romans chapter 8 over and over again when I've ever been discouraged or feeling down. You cannot read Romans chapter 8 and really look at what it's saying and still be discouraged. It's virtually impossible. If you struggle with sin, read Romans 8. If you struggle with guilt, read Romans 8. If you struggle through going through trials, you're struggling, read Romans 8. If you look to Romans 8, everything that you need as a person, as a human being, you're going to find in there. And so we've concentrated on this more than conquerors, which is verse 37 of Romans 8. And it's the key verse. And the Apostle Paul concludes, or he climaxes everything that he's been saying with this verse. And he says, yet in all these things, let's read it together. He says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him, that's Jesus, who loved us. Isn't that amazing? God has set us up to be conquerors. And the Apostle Paul gives us four amazing questions, which I heard Helen talk about. If God is for you, who can be against you? What a great question to ask. Who can bring a charge against you if you've been chosen by God? Question two. Question three, who then is the one who condemns? No one, it says. No one. What? Question four, who shall separate us from the love of God? No one. Four great questions. And so I love the fact that we are being told right from the outset that we are more than conquerors. God has destined us to conquer and to overcome. The actual word there, here we go again, trying to pronounce the Greek, good luck, but here we go. It's hypernarkeo, which means to be a super overcomer. I love that. God has destined you to be a super overcomer. But I want us to go down a different track here today, because I don't actually want to concentrate a whole lot on the word conqueror. I want to actually concentrate on the word more than a conqueror. Because to me, to be quite honest, it actually doesn't make sense. See, if I've conquered a nation, I've conquered the nation. I can't say I have more than conquered the nation. You either conquered it or you didn't. It's like saying, you know what? I killed that person twice. You either killed them or you didn't. You can't kill someone. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To be more than a conqueror is like, well, it doesn't quite make sense to be more than a conqueror. I won the race twice. As in, is it the same race? Yeah. I won it twice, man. That's what the Apostle Paul here is saying. You are more than a conqueror. Well, I don't know about, like, how are we? Well, I've got a slight twist on this. And that is a twist, but you'll know what I'm saying here. See, the Word of God is saying that we are more than a conqueror. Some people think that God has placed us on the earth to simply conquer sin. God didn't put us on the earth to conquer sin. Let me say how I know that. Or to conquer depression. Or to conquer your financial troubles. Or whatever it is. Listen, God didn't put you on the earth to do that. How do I know? Because there was no sin. There were no financial difficulties. So that could not be the ultimate plan of God, is that we would become conquerors, because there was nothing to conquer. Life was perfect. Life was awesome. So there were no troubles, there were no trials to overcome. You didn't need to be an overcomer, because there was no sickness, there were no financial issues, there were no Collingwood supporters. There was life was sin-free, you know what I mean? There was no evil in the world. Guys, it's got to come up every footy season, just once. And then we move on to Richmond, and then... Okay, so listen to this. So it can't be God's purpose for you and me that we get to heaven and say, God, I overcame sin, and for us to think that that's God's highest priority. It's actually not God's highest priority that you would get to heaven and say, God, I overcame bad habits. I'm a conqueror, God. And for God to say, and that's why I sent you to the earth. That's it. That's my heart's purpose for your life. No, it actually isn't. See, that's like my children coming home to me and saying, hey, Dad, I've got to tell you, now that you're an older man and I'm 25, God, I've got to tell you, I'm overcoming every negative thing in my life, God. Dad, I'm overcoming every bad habit. Dad, I'm overcoming every negative influence in my life, Dad. Dad, I'm conquering. And then I would actually say to my kids, if my kids only concentrated on, I'd say, you know what, though, can I be honest with you? But you're more than a conqueror. Yeah. And they would say, what do you mean, Dad? To me, the highest priority isn't that you are a conqueror. It's that actually we've got a relationship. So you are more than a conqueror. God would say to you today, you're more than a conqueror. Are you hearing? Can you see? You see my little twist here? God would say to every one of us, don't make your whole life just about conquering. Make it about being more than a conqueror. Be more than, what's the more? Make sure your relationship with God is deep and sincere and heartfelt. Don't just make life about you overcame sin, you overcame that trial, and you overcame this, and you overcame that. That's like my son saying to me, Dad, I've got into that uni. Dad, I overcame that assignment. But he and I don't even spend any time together. That's not the purpose of life. That's not the purpose of that. My son would achieve all of his dreams, but yet he and I don't hang out together and we don't love each other. I can't see that that's the plan of God. I want my son to be more than an overcomer. I want him to be someone who is more than just a film director. I want him to actually be my friend. I want to actually love him. I want to do life with my children. And so God today would say, listen, I didn't put you on the earth to simply be overcomers. I've put you on the earth to be more than a conqueror. Amen. We can easily think that Christianity is a performance and it's all about ticking the right boxes. You know, ticking the moral code box and ticking the generosity box and ticking all these boxes. And we can easily think that that's what Christianity is, that we've got to go from overcoming this thing to then overcoming that thing. And all of a sudden, all it becomes is just about rules and laws and the next thing that we've got to do. Listen, that's what every religion of the world are trying to do. They're the ones trying to tick all the boxes, going to a certain place, praying certain prayers, eating certain foods, don't eat certain foods, wear certain clothing. Friends, we are called to be more than all of that. We're called to have, are you hearing this? When God put Adam and Eve into the garden, he said, listen, guys, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply. Remember, there was no sin. But what there was in the garden, well, there were two trees. There was the tree of life, and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Listen to what God said to Adam and Eve. Don't go near the tree. Don't touch, don't eat, he actually said. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What does that even mean? Don't make your life about trying to do the right thing and not trying to do the wrong things. Don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from what's the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing to do, and just make your life about that. And then when you get the right things right, it's like, yes! And when you do the bad things, it's like, no. Do you know what? That's a roller coaster that will wear you out. That's a roller coaster, because let me tell you right now, just when you've eaten five good things, you're going to do some rotten things. And if that's what your life's, God says, listen, step away from the tree. Back up. Back up from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let me tell you what the tree of knowledge of good and evil actually is. It's the tree of religion. It's the tree of God. Have I done all the right things for you? God says, can I be honest with you? I did all the right things for you. Yeah. It's not about what you're doing for me. I actually did it for you. Stop trying to do all the right things. Oh, Pastor Rich, what are you saying? Should we just go out and live like heathens? No, I'm saying, what does it profit you if you live a perfect life but have no relationship with God? What does it profit you to be that person? Get away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and eat from the tree of life. What's the tree of life? Jesus. Just hang out with Him. Hang out with Him. You will find yourself doing all the right things. You'll find yourself living by an awesome moral code. You'll find yourself being generous and being the sort of person who's not selfish. But why? You're not ticking boxes. You're just hanging out with your friend. You're hanging out with your God. He's in your life. And that's how you become a more than a conqueror. Are you hearing this? Live the more. And God's challenge to all of us today is, are we more than a conqueror, or are you just a conqueror? That's the challenge to all of us. That's the challenge to me. Richard, are you just building a large church that's Jesus-centered? Is that the box that you're ticking? Or are you more than that? Because let me tell you what God's been challenging me about, sincerely challenging me. I'm lying in my bed, and He says, this is what God says to me, and I hope He says the same thing to you. We used to be intimate. You used to just worship me. Now it's like it's all going to be perfect. And now it's like, you know, and you're more worried about everything being perfect than you just opening up your heart to me and saying, Jesus, I just got to tell you, I just love you so much. Because, you know, listen, you know, there was a day that I wasn't pastoring a church. All I was doing was working in a milk bar, but I had an intimate relationship with Jesus. Do you know, I think sometimes God says, I wish you'd go back to that than what you're currently doing. Because at the moment, I'm conquering, taking on the world, traveling and helping Poland. And God would say, yeah, that's great, you're conquering. But I need you to be more than a conqueror. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise. I love this. Intimacy. Heartfelt, genuine. Are you more? Or are you just taking all the kingdom principles and building a great business with it? Because, by the way, it will work. Are you just taking all the kingdom principles and building a great family with it? Are you just taking all of God's principles and doing all the right things from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Are you doing all that and living this awesome life, but you'll get to heaven one day and realize you're not intimate? You actually, listen, if you were honest, you don't really know your God. You don't really know. You've done lots for Him. But you don't really know Him. Is this okay? Hey, listen, by the way, if you're going to be at Lifehouse, we're going to harass you about this to the day you die. Okay? Because I'd be devastated if I built a church where everyone was over here and just eating the tree from the knowledge of good and evil. I'd be devastated. No, I've got to get you away from that. I've got to get you over here near Jesus, the tree of life, the person who loves us. Yeah! You know, if you're looking for religion in this church, I pray you don't find it. I pray you find Jesus everywhere, though. You know, a young couple in our church just recently, so awesome. Hey, Pastor Rich, we're pregnant. And they've been praying for a long time. And there was an excitement on their face. You know, when you see a young couple, you know, and they always want to tell me first, which is really nice, but I used to always give it away, but these days I've learned not to. And they come and tell me, and there's this excitement on their face. Have you ever come? Have you seen it? You know, it's like, oh, we're pregnant, and all that. We have to wait for the 85-week period to be over, and all that. You know, and as they're telling me about how they're going to have a new baby, I'm thinking to myself, why are they so excited? No, really, why would a parent be excited about having a child? Let me ask you. Maybe yell out, yes, that's what I'm excited about. Is it the sleepless nights? Anyone? No? Is that what you're excited? Is it the nappy changing? No? Is it like, I can't wait to just... what about the endless crying? No? Anyone up for that? Like, I'm looking at these parents, I've just got this stone look on my face as they... Right? Or what about this? Is it the approximately $250,000 per child that you will spend on them? Is that what you're excited about, mum and dad? Or is it the fact that you're not going to have another sleep in until 2024? What are you excited about? What is that parent excited? But listen, with all of that I've just told you, some of you are still going to have a child. Why? Why would you do that? I know what it is. I've worked it out. Because one day they grow up and they make coffee for you. Some of you are like, yeah, man, about time. Yeah, that's right. You got it. Spot on. Thank you, Pastor Rich. Or for some of you, it's like, no, someone's got to cut the grass. Well, by the way, I've got news for you. If that's your plan, it doesn't happen. So please don't do it for that reason. No. I think if I was to ask those parents, so why are you having a child? It's really simple why they want a child. Are you ready for it? We just want to love them. Isn't that what they would say? Be honest. I mean, what a bad agenda it would be to just say, I just want to educate a human being. I just want to make sure this human being goes to the best school in all of the world. That's my whole agenda. Do you actually want to know them? No. Just want to educate them. Well, you know what? Come on, why do parents have children? Because they want to love the child. Now, listen, if we were really honest, though, what are you hoping will come back one day? Some love. Well, listen, what do you think God made us? He didn't make you so that you would overcome sin. I'm sorry to tell you that. He didn't make you so that you would be generous. He didn't create you so that you would preach the gospel. He created you so that you could love him and that he could love you. And it's just a love relationship. He needs us to be more than a conqueror. You've got to be more. He wants more than just conquering. Conquering is just a part of the puzzle, but he wants the more. He would rather not have the conquering, but have the more, rather than have the conquering and there is no more. Is this okay? That's why I love what it says in the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus said, when you pray, he said, he didn't say, pray like this, our master. He didn't say to pray, our teacher, our giver of principles. He didn't say that. He said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. He didn't even say pray like this, our God Almighty. Because sometimes you can think that you can't have a relationship with a God. So he said, so when you pray, to help your brain out, when you pray, pray like this, Dad, Daddy, Dad, I really love you. That's what God wants from you, man. Woman. That's what he wants. Yes, he'll help you with your business. Okay, he'll do that as well because he's your dad. But don't build a business at the cost of spending time with your dad. Yeah. Dad, I want to pray, but I've got to go build a business that you're helping me with. Or for me, Dad, I'd love to pray and all that, but I've got to build your church. Do you know what he would say to me? Resign. Resign then. If you can't do both, if God had to choose, he would make me resign and just be a son. Yeah. Is anyone understanding what I'm saying today? Stop making it about you're this and you're that and getting your perfect life right, because you're never going to get it 100% anyway. Like, if that's your big dream and your big goal, good luck with that. I tell you what you can have with God, though, a perfect relationship. You actually can have a perfect relationship with God. Do you know what am I really saying here today? God values you, not for what you do for him. He doesn't value that. He values you because you're his child. And guess what? My children can muck up a little bit if they want, and they can not always get and do the right things. But you know one thing my children cannot change? Being my children. And you know what? You might not get all the conquering right, but even in all the mess that you make, God still says, lucky you're my child. Lucky you're my child, because that can't change. So I'm going to love you all the time. I'm going to value you. Even though you are about to make the worst decision of your life, God says, but you're my child and I still love you. I have created you to overcome. I have given you conquering spirit, but I still love you because you are more than a conqueror. Let that sink into your spirit for a while. I am more than a conqueror. I don't know, for many of us, I'm sure that we have all thought that that simply means that we are a double conqueror or something. No, you're more than that. You're more than that. Is this getting through? You know, I've got to be honest, my children, just like your children, are achieving some great things at the moment. But I'm telling you, I am determined to maintain my relationship with my children. I'm determined, no matter where they live in the world, what they're doing with their lives, I'm always their dad. So I will send my kids messages, and it's not always about, hey, well done that you graduated from. Sometimes it's just, hey, I'm so honored to be your dad. Because that can never change. Because just like your kids, my kids sometimes don't conquer very well, but they still get the text message, I love you, man. I love your daughter. You mean so much to me. I don't want my kids to think that if they're doing well in life or not doing well, that it somehow determines my love for them, because it doesn't. So why do we think God changes his love for us? Is this okay?
Yeah.
Do you know, I was watching a documentary, and some of this message came out of this. I'm in Czech Republic. I've got jet lag, tired. This BBC show comes on, documentary, about the children of South Korea. And the children of South Korea study up to 17 hours a day. 17 hours. So they go to school, they get to school. Listen, their schools close at 12 a.m. at night. Kids are still there studying. And it's all to get this higher education, and it's this thing that's going crazy. Well, guess what? The BBC documentary finishes with this. Have a guess where the highest rate of suicide is amongst teenagers in the world. South Korea. Why? Because they feel like failures with their parents. It's terrible, guys. And I thought to myself, as I'm watching this, I thought, thank you, God, that you're not like that. Don't be like that on a physical level, but don't be like that on a spiritual level either. Oh, but I'm not serving God yet. And, you know, one day God's going to love me more because I'm going to sort of serve him. Or I've been divorced, so there's no chance that, you know. Listen. How much? I'm going to say this again. He doesn't love you because of how much you love him. He loved you first. He loved you first, and he always will. So today we need to take up the value that God has placed on us. Do you want to honor God? Receive the love that he has for you. Receive the honor and the respect that he has for you. Even when you don't get it right, he still loves you. That's the greatest way to honor him. It's to say, God, I believe with all my heart. Lord, sometimes I don't get it right, and I do eat from that tree, but I know that you love me right now, sitting right where I am, with all the intentions in my life that I'm planning to do. I know you love me right now. Give someone a high five. Come on. I've got a few moments left. Listen, this is the way Jesus put it. Are you ready for this? Are you getting something out of this, by the way? Is this okay? Man, this is quickly undoing religion, I tell you that right now. Matthew 7, 22 to 23, we've read this verse many times, but let's pull it apart, have a look at it. Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, here it goes, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? What's that called? Conquering, right? We conquered. And in your name we drove out demons? That's called conquering. We performed many miracles? We're conquering. But Jesus says, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you though. Yeah. But I never knew you. So what does he say? Away from me, you evildoers. Can I ask you a question? What evil did they do? I'm trying to find the evil. They were prophesying. They were driving out demons. They were doing miracles. Jesus says, get away from me, you evildoers. What was the evil? What was the evil they were doing? Easy. They just didn't make a decision that knowing him was more important than working for him. That was the evil. That was the evil. That's why the Apostle Paul says, guys, I've got one goal in my life. Here it comes. Ready? Here it comes. He doesn't say plant churches. He doesn't say preach the gospel. He says, I've got one goal in my life, that I may know him. When you wake up in the morning, don't say, oh, I've got to get up and I've got to. Yeah, you've got it. You've only got to do one thing. That I may know him. That I may know him. And the beauty of all this is that you don't have to be in a church environment. You don't have to be in a Holy Spirit environment. You can just, as you are, just say, Lord Jesus, I've just got to let you know right now, you mean so much to me. I love you. And he says, now you're onto it. Now you're doing it. There it is. And whatever comes out of that is just a bonus for him. He wants the more. Jesus wants the more. Now listen, do you know when you start to do this right this way, when you do this right vertically between you and God, do you know it starts to flow out of you horizontally? Let me show you what I mean. Do you have staff that work for you? Do you know with your staff, are you just simply happy that they're conquering and getting the job done for you? Or are you more than a conqueror with them? Do you see them as more, or are they just people doing a task for you? Because I think that's why some people don't feel the love, because they can actually sense we don't care about them, we only care about what they do. And if you want to be someone who actually applies kingdom principle, stop seeing people as just conquerors or task people that are doing tasks for you, because you know what that makes you? You're the taskmaster. It's not about the task. Ask yourself the bigger question, what's my relationship like with them? You know, the best bosses, employers in the world are people who just walk amongst their staff and actually know their name, pat them on the back, give them an encouragement, know their children's names. Those people work harder for that employer than all the others who are just told, where's your KPIs? What are you doing? Oh, and you didn't achieve. Now, I understand we've got to have some KPIs. I understand that we've got to run a business. But you know what? You can also do the other. Yeah. Amen. We've got great staff here at Lifehouse. They're awesome people. They're great preachers. They're doing wonderful things. But I don't just talk to them about their task. I want to know, how's Pastor Joseph going? How's Dave going with his own relationship? I want to actually know them and love them. Sometimes I'll just text them and say, hey, let's just go to a coffee shop. And we just hang out and we just have a laugh, and because that's important to God and it's important to me. Amen. I want to challenge you. Come on, are you just a conqueror person, or are you a more than a conqueror person? Come on, let's go to a new level, more than a conqueror. Can I give you just a really practical example of this? Do you remember Mary and Martha? Two sisters. Jesus used to love going to their house. Lazarus was also the third wheel there. And so Jesus used to love going to this family's home, and he used to hang out with them. And then one day Jesus goes to their home, and Martha goes straight to the kitchen, and she's chopping away and she's making her, you know, pasta bolognese there, whatever she's making, right? She's making some tabbouleh, I suppose. Back then would have been a few falafels going on too. And she was working away because she's a conqueror, right? She's a conqueror, and she's there and she's doing, and then she looks around and she goes, where's Mary? And where was Mary? The Bible tells us that Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. So Martha says, have a look at what she says. But Martha, where is it? But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and she said, listen, Lord, don't you care? Okay, so here she goes. She's accusing the God of the universe now. Okay. See, that's what happens when you get distracted with just conquering. Right? You start judging people. How come everyone else isn't conquering? They're not here like me. And you become the most judgmental person because all you're worried about, she blames two people in one sentence. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you're worried and you're upset about many things. But few things are needed. Only a few things. Or indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What did Mary choose? Relationship. She chose relationship over conquering. Now, I've got a question for you. Some of you, I know some of you conquerors. I know some of you taskies right now. Yeah, well, then who's gonna make the food? Come on, yeah, I know all the taskies are like, you're fidgeting right now. It's like, I hate people that do what Mary did and just sit there. Someone's got to do the. But Jesus would say, Lifehouse, Lifehouse, Lifehouse. That's what he would say to all of us. He'd say, the people that are sitting at Jesus' feet have chosen. He says, only one thing is needed. And Mary chose the better. Now, watch this. Jesus is now dying on a cross. Jesus is in his greatest need. If he ever had a need, this is the moment, right? Who's at the feet of Jesus? Where's Martha? I've got a better question for you. Where's Martha, the taskie? Because she didn't receive, she wasn't able to deliver on what mattered the most, when it mattered the most. Who went to go put ointment on Jesus' body. Where's Martha, the taskie? She's not there. I tell you why she wasn't there. Because she hadn't received enough to give enough. And sometimes we're very busy doing the doing, and God says, you're going to run out of juice. You're going to run out one day. You need to sit at the feet of Jesus. And guess what? Guess who the first person was to see the resurrected Jesus? The woman who just sat at Jesus' feet. Lifehouse, sit at the feet. Because you are more than a conqueror. Amen. You are more. You are more than a conqueror. You're a relationship with Jesus, first person. And out of that, you do your conquering.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.